the Irish green, and look at the move he's making down to the inside. He moves to the front with the fifth all the way to the lead in lap one. Walsh takes win number two.
Peter.
Walsh.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Today it is Drive to Survive, Season 1, Episode 9. Now, guys, before we get going here, just want to remind everybody on the podcast, as many of you may or may not know, I'm recording Monday to Fridays, so I've got a podcast out every day, 5 days a week, Monday to Fridays. Every Monday and every Friday, without fail for 2024, we're going to be talking about motor racing. Okay, so every Monday and Fridays, we're talking about motor racing. Either we're covering the Formula One 24 season, and we'll do a preview and highlights. So we'll do a preview on the Friday. Then on the Monday after the race, we'll be talking about the highlights. And if we don't have a Formula One race, we're back with, here we go, Drive to Survive. And we're breaking down every round and trying to give you more insights, because in fairness, Netflix Drive to Survive, it is a fantastic show. And many of you may or may not know, it's 85% accurate. What do I mean? It is pretty much bang on the money in terms of the bitching, the moaning. This shit happens. I used to race in carts all the way up into cars, and it's all the fucking same, baby. Now, I will also call bullshit if something is complete crap, and I'll tell you the truth as well. So today, let's get into it. So it's Season 1, Episode 9. Now, guys, this is a very interesting one today, and there's multiple things going on in this one today. So the whole episode really revolves around Haas and Renault. They're going up against each other here, and they're competing for fourth place in the championship. And really what this is about today is Formula One teams grasping at straws, and they get into such a desperate scenario where they're not winning, they're not getting results, that they get swept away when they have a reasonable result. And by the way, I'm not trying to sound like an asshole, and maybe I do sound like an asshole here, but I don't mean to be. And here's why, because I've been in that situation where you've got a shit car for a year or a cart and you're just not getting the results. But the thing is, and we're going to talk about this, they're celebrating way too fucking much. I didn't do this. That's for a fucking fact. Like, the celebrations are, they're way over the top. They are celebrating a 10th position like it's winning the championship. Where are their standards? Yes, be pleased. Yes, be happy. Yes, shake everybody's hand and, hey, good job, buddy. Good job, John. Good job, Mary. Whatever it is, that's great. But this jumping around horse shit? Not on. So let's get into it. So at the start, we see Renault and Haas, okay? And they're competing for millions of dollars, as they call it in this episode. And that is true, guys. So it's all about finishing in the top 10. Now, some of you may know this or you don't know this, but it is important for the teams to finish in the top 10. And why? Because they gain points towards the season. So it's all about, most important, the goal here for every team is to make sure that your two drivers finish in the top 10. That's what they want. And why? Because they earn revenue from the Formula One sports body, the governing sports body, should I say, and it helps to pay the bills. It helps to keep the lights on, right? And to afford to go motor racing. Motor racing is an extremely expensive sport. So they have to finish in the top 10. So again, I really do understand why they are happy, pleased, but not this over the top fucking celebrating. Relax, lads, take it easy. There's no need for that either. So we go into Magnussen. Now, Kevin Magnussen, he's the Haas driver here at the moment. Magnussen, really, I really rate this guy. He's an old school driver. He's just got balls. Now, we do see a bit of a dirty side to him here on this one, I have to say. And quite honestly, I gotta admit, I even forgot about this part. Or maybe I even just didn't see it or never saw it before, and we saw it again on Drive to Survive. I've seen the whole season of Drive to Survive, but I can't remember this part of Magnussen, and I have to say I wasn't impressed with him here. But let's get into that in a second. So Magnussen starts off the episode, and he's saying that it's against Renault, Haas are up against Renault to compete, finish in fourth position for the championship. A lot of pressure on them. Magnussen said he feels good with Haas because you feel like you're not competing for commercial reasons. Now, what does he mean by that? I actually don't know what he means by that, because every team is competing for commercial reasons. You want to sell more t-shirts. You want to sell more baseball caps with Haas and Kevin Magnussen on my back shirt. That's what this is about. Now, maybe what he means here is that the team don't act out that sort of commercial thing. Well, hey, Kevin, come on. We need a good result here because we need to sell more t-shirts. So maybe they're not saying that, whereas other teams could be. And quite honestly, they could very well be saying that to their other teams, to their drivers in other teams. They could be saying this type of scenario, you know? And so maybe he's on about that. It's more of a family atmosphere and they concentrate on the racing and they don't have to say out loud that they're going for the commercial and they want to sell more hats. So maybe that's part of it there. But again, I'm just assuming the better side for Magnussen and Haas here. So then we see both teams see focused in on, and the Haas and Renault are feeling the pressure. Now, I get it. It's more points. More points means more revenue throughout the season and pays the bills. So 100% I'm with them on board here. It's paying the bills, keeps the lights on. So of course they're going to feel some pressure here, right? So Renault feeling the pressure because they've been around a long time and it's almost embarrassing. That's the way I'd look at this, guys. Renault, and I'll go through their, actually maybe I'll go through it right now. Renault, in the history of Formula One, they've won two constructors and drivers' championships. As an engine manufacturer, they have 12 constructor championships and 11 driver championships. Now, as an engine manufacturer, 100% guys, whether you're in karting or race cars, if you have a Renault engine in your car, and okay, it might be, let's throw out a weird random example, right? Let's say it's we'll go with Red Bull. Let's say it's a Red Bull chassis car, but it's a Renault engine, right? So two different manufacturers combined into one car. Even though you're the Renault manufacturer, the engine manufacturer, you're still gonna celebrate because you are part of the team there. I get that. 100%. So even with their records, guys, they have a huge long resume here. So for them, with that resume, that handsome, spicy resume they have here, I know exactly what they're feeling here. They're feeling pressure of not that, oh, can we get the first time we can finish fourth in the championship? No, Haas are feeling that right now because they haven't been around a long time. So it's fascinating to see that they've got so many goddamn fucking scenario, different ways of looking at it here. Haas want to do it for the first time ever. And then you've got Renault actually feeling the pressure of, oh God, we've got to finish fourth here, guys, lads. Oh my fucking Lord, what are we going to do if we don't? It would be humiliating. It would be embarrassing for them. Totally two different scenario pressure scenarios, but still competing for the same spot. So it's fascinating to see that. Now, then we go over to Hülkenberg, Nico Hülkenberg, the German. Now, Hülkenberg, I do rate the guy. I think he's solid. He's consistent. We'll get into him a little bit more in terms of when real pressure's on him. Now, again, we'll get into that more in, I think it's season 2 where we discover this, but let's just stick to this episode. This is a different type of pressure for a driver, because this isn't coming down to Hülkenberg and Magnussen now, and as in the four drivers in the Renault and Haas. This doesn't come down to all four drivers win the championship. This is about the team beating the other team. So it's not the drivers this time around. It's the team. So it's a different type of pressure. So it actually is a little bit easier in this scenario for the drivers, because it's not about them now. It's not all focused on them. Of course, they've got to deliver the result, bring something to the table here. And as a team, you fucking want to make sure that your drivers are going to be bringing something to the team. So they're going on about Hülkenberg. He's had the most races, but no podiums. Now, in fairness, that's a lot of pressure on a guy. At the same time, Hülkenberg just hasn't had the equipment to be in that scenario. So it's a stupid, unfair pressure that the journalists are saying, oh, he hasn't got a podium. Yeah, well, there's plenty of other drivers in Formula 1 and racing in general, Formula 4, Formula 3, karting, that have never got a podium because they're really good, but they just never got themselves in a position to be in that car. Now, that's a different type of angle and a business clever angle. Yes, of course. But you can't be fucking saying, oh, well, he's fucked it all up. No, that's not it when it comes to Hülkenberg. Now, then we do flash over to Magnussen and Hülkenberg. And there is some bad blood between the two boys here. There definitely is. Magnussen and Hülkenberg do not get on. They've been competing for the same spot. And you even see they flash over to Magnussen. And this is where I was a little bit disappointed with Kevin Magnussen, I have to say. Before we get into the race and show who wins between the two, they flash over to Hungary Grand Prix. And Magnussen and Hülkenberg are competing. They come out of turn two, the long left-hander. And Magnussen literally just drives them off the fucking track. I mean, it was so blatant. So guys, if you are watching that episode and you do see Hülkenberg go wide onto the grass, that is 100% a fucking cowboy maneuver from Kevin Magnussen. So blatantly obvious. And look, sometimes we don't see all the ins and outs. There's no excuse for Magnussen doing that, by the way. Unless now Hülkenberg was trying to literally knock him off so blatantly and deliberately and aggressively, trying to knock him off in that race, then you could see Magnussen doing something like that. But we don't see that. So right now, Magnussen, they call him the bad boy of Formula 1. Well, he certainly showed it there. I certainly don't agree with that. I don't approve of that. Unless now something really fucking happened on the track. Totally different story. But no, there was no excuse for that. And Magnussen was coming out of the long left-hander. Hülkenberg was on the outside. Magnussen was in the inside. Because they were still kind of in the bend. They were just straightening up. And then Magnussen just shoves him off. Like, I mean, it's so fucking, it's ridiculous. Oh my God. I mean, even he must have been going, oh no, they're going to see me. What have I done? And it's just hot-blooded, got completely carried away. And it was not good. So then we flash over to the Texan track in America. And Grosjean, this is now where it's all down to the wire for the two teams. You've got Haas and Renault competing. They need to win. All right, sorry, not win. They need to beat each other at this track. It has to be done. Grosjean, unfortunately, and if you've seen my other previous episodes, guys, we have seen where Grosjean has a complete meltdown. And my heart goes out to the guy. Every driver's been like this in their career at one stage. Some drivers it doesn't last very long, some drivers it does. And you can just have one of these off moments, off, a few months where you're just crashing, you're getting involved with other accidents, things are just going south so bad. And Grosjean had that. And then at America, when the team needed him, he fucks up again. So this was not good. And this is where I didn't like Grosjean now. And this is truth, guys. Very, very accurate. So Grosjean fucks up, okay? The team are pissed off. Now, Grosjean knows, and believe me, I know this from a racing driver's point of view. You fuck up on the track, all of a sudden you're like, oh God, and you feel like shit because you've let the team down. You're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to get a bollock in here. Fuck. And it's almost like the school teacher's about to, or you're sent to the principal's office and you're like, oh no, here we go, fuck. But what I didn't like about Grosjean here, he comes back into the pit lane after he has his incident. He's out of the car, right? The team are pissed off, but the race is still going. Grosjean leaves the pit garage, goes over to the pit wall where the team are, and Gunther Haas, the boss at the time here, and he says, hey, Gunther, and he says that Carlos Sainz went over a curb, and he ran over the curb, over the white line, and he should be disqualified. So Grosjean is saying this to Gunther and saying, okay, Gunther looks into it, and then Carlos Sainz get a 5-second penalty. Now, could you say he's squealing on him? Well, yeah, he did squeal on him. Now, here's the thing. That's okay in a way, right? If somebody fucks up, they fuck up. And if they break the rule, they break the rule. But here's the thing. They even show in this episode the Haas boys going over those curbs and over the white lines. Now, there's a moment, I think, where it's Magnussen. You can debate whether he goes over the white line or not. You could say he stayed in the white line. But I'll tell you this. This is a long fucking race. And guys, the stewards, the officials of Formula One, and any kind of racing, that rule is more forced upon the drivers in qualifying because they don't want the driver to get a faster lap than someone else, an unfair advantage. But in a race, they're more flexible on this, right? They're a lot more flexible because you've got a lot of laps. You can't fucking keep an eye on everything. Whereas in qualifying, you've only got the one lap for Magnussen or Hamilton or Verstappen or whoever, right? So it's easier to keep track of stuff. And you can't blame the FIA for that. Right, there's just too much going on. Now, there's cameras everywhere, and sometimes they may miss something, or somebody misses something, and the FIA don't hear about it. But the thing is, if Magnussen was doing that, he looked a little dodgy there. You could debate this one. In fact, maybe I'd have to see it again. But I've seen enough, and I know that if a driver's doing that in the race, he's doing it every fucking lap. Every lap. And the chances are, out of all the laps that they competed in a race, if they're pushing it to the limit that much, you can be fucking sure of it. The Haas boys and Magnussen did it at least once in the race. It just happens. It's not a mistake per se, because there is flexibility in the race. But you know, again, now the FIA would have to go over every fucking lap that Magnussen did, which they don't have fucking time, and you could miss it then. And, you know, they'd have to go over every corner, every lap, for 50, 60 fucking laps. So they'd actually have to watch the Grand Prix all over again if they didn't, if no one reported them to the FIA, they'd have to go over every fucking lap. So you can't blame the FIA. They're like, fuck that. We get a report, we'll do it. So, very bad. And Grosjean, you know what? He did it simply because, and believe me, guys, there's a lot of rats in any sort of walk of life, and there's rats in Formula One. I did not like that about Grosjean. So again, guys, this is where the politics, the bullshit comes into this. Just crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. And you know, if you're going to squeal on someone, well, be prepared to fucking look like a squealer. And it was not good, guys. Not good. And at the end of the day, Grosjean's not going to go home. And like, Grosjean's a fast fucking pilot. Grosjean's not going to go home saying, oh, well, God, I'm so proud of myself. No, he felt like shit coming in after the race. And he had to do something to make it up to the team. That's how he felt. But no, not good. So, Haas. And that was too much celebrating. Too much. There was a bit now where the drivers went around, shook the hands of people and all that. Yeah, of course. Why not? Of course you do. It's a good thing. You know, hey guys, okay, good. Good progression here. We're on the right track. Let's keep this forward momentum that's going. But jumping around and screaming and throwing your hands in the air? Give me a fucking break. Give me a break. Come on, guys. Where's your fucking standards? Just lighten up, lads. Lighten up. And then we go over to Will Buxton as well. Some of you know him. I don't like this guy. Will Buxton, the English journalist. What Renault has done is a huge moment for them. That's what he says. No, it wasn't, Will. Because they've won so many driver's titles and constructor's titles already. They're fucking... If anything, they should be just relieved. Like, oh, thank God. Thank God Aston beat us. Woo! Woo! Right? Literally wiping the sweat from their forehead. So, no, it wasn't a huge moment for them, guys. They're well used to winning. And Gunther then says, maybe it's just not our time. Maybe it's just not your time. Like, Gunther's depressed as fuck after the race. I understand things aren't going well and you're gonna be down, right? You're gonna be down. But did you see the way, guys? If you haven't seen it, just see the way his attitude is. You'd think he was up for the world championship and they lost. Now, I get that. If somebody had the world title on up there and you're depressed afterwards, well then, hey, very understandable. You're down and out and depressed. But that? No, guys. For fourth? Are you joking me? Like, I wouldn't be that fucking depressed. And, you know, I've been giving Gunther a bit of shit here now on the podcast. Because I think he's a bit of a diva. But I think the more I see Gene Haas, and I'm standing up for Gunther here, the more I see Gene Haas, I just think that guy's very... Oh, what would be the word? Here, Gunther, here's your budget for the year. Go away from me. Don't talk to me, make it work. Yes, you got to. But even Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, this was before the budget cap came in. Sometimes you'll have a budget of, random example, 150 million. But then you realize, actually, guys, we found something here that could make the car better. You're going to throw more into the fucking car. But Haas seems to me, and I know these type of team owners, guys, I've seen them before. They're bloody in every category. They'll throw a budget at the team and that's it. Make it happen, lads. But they'll spend nothing more. Nothing more. Now, we'll see more as we go along throughout the seasons and episodes. But Gene Haas, he's not... The guy just doesn't look like he's giving Gunther and the boys the right stuff. Just not good. Not good. You know, and quite honestly, that's a bit of delusionment here. It really is. Or it's just a distraction. He doesn't have enough money. And he's just trying to put the pressure and deflect it on the team. So he doesn't look like a guy who can't afford any more money. Yeah, and you know, people play these games here. You know, people play these games here in motor racing in general. But hey, guys, like I've said before, this is why we love Drive to Survive. On the outside, it's fucking spectacular to watch. And this is all accurate shit. Like I have said before, and before we close it off today, guys, I said before, it is 85% accurate. There's nothing actually in this episode that stands out to me that is exaggerated. So this episode is very good because it's one of the most accurate. In fact, it's more than 85% accurate. It's, I would say, 98% accurate. And I'm only leaving 2 points out because there could have been some things we just didn't see. You know? So again, you see, this is what I love. Now, then again, guys, there's been some episodes then when you hear some exaggeration. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, guys. I just remember this part. Just remember this. It wasn't even worth taking a note of this. Because, again, I want to make sure that I'm giving you, you know, valuable, good information. I just remembered this, actually, guys. One part. Magnussen's in the pit lane. This is before the actual race starts. And somebody's saying something about Magnussen in the pit lane. And then they flash over to Magnussen. And then Magnussen is looking, but you think he's looking over to the team. But no, I know the reaction. You'll see it now, right? If you watch this episode and you'll see the team talk about something, they look over, but then they flash over to Magnussen and Magnussen's got a bit of a smirk on his face. Those two scenarios don't match. They don't. They look like two different conversations completely. So yeah, okay, here we go. 95% accurate, so this episode. But that's all for now. We're flying through the episodes, guys. Jesus, we are flying through them. It's unbelievable. So, guys, that is Season 1, Episode 9. Of course, we'll be back with Episode 10. But again, just to remind you guys, every Monday and Friday is motor racing. What takes priority is the Formula 1 2024 season. So if we do not have a Grand Prix at a weekend, well, then we'll be replacing the Monday and Friday slots with Drive to Survive. So the next one will be Season 1, Episode 10. And in fact, guys, just bear with me. While I'm on the air here, let me just get up for you when the next one should be coming out. So we've got, let's see, Australia, Japan, March 7th. So this, today's date is the 15th of March. And then we have Australia. And actually, yeah, we'll be out again in 3 weeks' time, the 29th. Isn't that right? Well, yeah, because we'll be doing the Monday and the 29th, guys. That's correct. On the 29th of March, we'll have another Drive to Survive, again, in between the races. So, guys, thanks very much for listening. And we'll be back again. Season 1, Episode 10, coming up next. Bye-bye.
Walsh running the Irish green, and look at the move he's making down to the inside. Moves to the front with fifth all the way to the lead in lap one. Walsh takes win number two.
Peter. Walsh. 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 Walsh.